That psalm that I talked about at the very beginning, Psalm 127, we're going to take a minute and look at Psalm 127 together. If you have your copy of the scriptures with you today, I'd invite you and encourage you to turn in to Psalm 127 as we consider what the whole psalm says. Psalm 127, we looked at last week the blessing and importance of unity, how important unity is to God, how important it is for life, and how wonderful it is. And this week we backed up just because the Sigbys asked me if we could do this today, and it just kind of fit, so I decided, let's talk about Psalm 127 instead of just keeping on the structure of schedule and talk about children. Follow along as I read Psalm 127. Psalm 127, a song of ascents, a song of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Man, what an awesome psalm. Pray with me. We'll ask God to help us as we unpack his word today and as we consider Psalm 127 and the implications of it. Thank you again, God, for your grace to us. Thank you for the blessing of children and the amazing nature of your word. We pray that you would give us wisdom and insight into your word as we think on these things today, and that we would that your word would be rightly handled, and that we would go away from this understanding your will for us individually. Just thank you for the little ones you put into each of our lives, and some of us they're not so little anymore. We still know that they're our children. We love them, and we have this responsibility. And just pray you'd guide us as we parent, as we grandparent, as we think through all these things that Psalm 127 encourages us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the world has some very skewed views on parenting. Some wrong views, of course, right? The world, in a sense, now the world doesn't get everything 100% wrong. They stumble on truth every once in a while. But in a general sense, most of the world, well, what the world believes is upside down from reality, or what God says, most of it. And so we would understand then, in the area of parenting, the world is going to have some bad views. And it really is, as I meditated on it this week, it's really quite twisted. It's very sad. It wasn't too long ago that we all had, at least in America, it's still this way in much of the world, or some of the world, at least half. But in America, we had many large families. It was kind of a normal thing, actually. But there was a cultural shift. Now, the general idea was that most American families were 2.5 children. That's what people were going for. But now, believe it or not, it's down to 1.93. Isn't that interesting? If you take about the swath of the millions of people that are involved, think about that. That's a cultural shift. Okay, that's people not valuing large families anymore, and the shift is away from family to career, as if the career is going to be the thing that is going to make your life make sense. And really, the push towards women in particular to work, get a job, build your career, don't have a family until you're older because it'll be fulfilling or whatever. And then every man wants to be a stay-at-home mother, right? Because who wants to work? It doesn't end up working. The women are not fulfilled by that, but it's just how the culture has pushed people. Many people are waiting much longer to start families, and if they have any children at all, many people just go through, there's several people that I know right now that had never had children. They go through life without having children. When we stopped having children, we weren't in a place in our lives where we were particularly thinking the most biblically. I guess we were. God was working, don't get me wrong. It started with really having Jacob, but we weren't. If I had it all to do over, we would have more children. It just is. It's just turned out this way because of the timing and everything. We didn't make the best choices, but God knows. You know, He could have directed us, but that's the culture, the way the culture is going. Less than two per family, many people with none. Some people in our culture even see procreation as immoral. That's a pretty, you know, you'll hear that from time to time. Well, with all the green stuff and, you know, do we really want to add more children? And she shouldn't have children. And that's a push in some circles as well. And there are many crazy kind of ideas and false ideas that come out of that. And you can follow all of these sort of weird cultural ideas. I call them weird. To me, they're just weird. It's just dumb. But you can follow them all back to really just create, you know, satanic in nature. But some of them are overpopulation. The world is overpopulated, and we're never, you know, it's just going to explode. And actually, the opposite is happening right now. We are in a depopulation crisis where we need more people. And some Asian countries are actually incentivizing children now because they see that, oh, wait a minute, we're going to need more people. And so they're actually incentivizing it. Whereas before, like China, they took a look at their stuff and they said, we have 1 billion people, we can't feed these people, what are we going to do? So they put laws out there, you're only allowed to have one child. And they're facing that same kind of crisis, by the way. But what happened in their culture was people reacted in the way that their culture reacts. And they said, well, sons are valued, daughters are not valued. So if we have a daughter, we hide it. Or in some cases, they killed the child or they sent it away. Sometimes they hid the child until they could have a second. And so what happens is they end up with a lot of boys, a lot of men in China as a result. And that's just the way their culture reacted. We are facing in the United States a shrinking population, and we're going to, as some of our older, this generation, the older generation ages out, and there's not as many people to come back in. That's why immigration is so strong here, because we need more people here to keep things going. And it's just a sad thing about our culture. We just don't value children. We don't have the large families anymore. We can't ever have a discussion on children without having a discussion about the scourge and horror of abortion. And it has just completely decimated the American populace. Millions of people who should be alive today in America have been killed. And there's just no other way to spin it. It's an awful scourge in our whole world, honestly. But we live in America, so that's what we're talking about. But we've lost so many people because of that, and it's just been a terrible thing, and millions have died as a result of it. What's happened in our culture, though, is more insidious. How could it be more insidious than murdering children? But it is. And because what's happened is the whole idea of abortion has been sold to us, a lie has been sold to us that it is women's rights and it's for women. But what's happened is, what it's turned into is what it actually is. And nobody will admit it. It's a tool against women. It makes women sexually objectified. All the women are for is that. And then it allows people to use them with no consequences. Well, you have a baby, just kill it. And it's sold as a tool for women. It's actually a tool against women. And nobody will say that. People be fighting words if anybody heard that, but it's true. It's not. It doesn't help women. It's not for women. It's killing an actual baby. And if you've ever been actually involved with some of those ladies, they carry that guilt their whole life. It's not. It doesn't help them. Even in the most extreme cases, where it's very difficult for them when they're pregnant. And our culture has ran with that, hasn't it? It's become. I call it a war on women. We want our women to be just a sexual object in our culture. If you don't believe me, watch television for a day. We want our women to be a sexual object. We want them to be used. and we want to keep it that way, and we want no consequences. Where the Bible would say, one man, one woman, you take care of that woman. You love that woman. You provide for that woman. Life till death do you part. You see? It's not an object. That's a precious person made in the image of God that you're there to love. And you're supposed to have children together if God allows, right? You see? It's upside down. And the war on children, war on women becomes a war on children. It becomes a war on families. And women are sold this lie that they need more and there's something out there and they need positions of power and whatever. What is more valuable than being a mother? How have we bought that? Can you imagine the responsibility of raising and rearing a little person into an adult? That is the most awesome thing any person could ever do. And somehow it's believed that it's less. You know, well, you're just a stay-at-home mom. People still say it. What do? I'm a stay-at-home mom. Oh. You know, like, wow. I would say, wow, you do that? How do you sleep? When do you get any sleep, right? You know, it's a hard job, you see? Nope, the world has it upside down. And people say, well, what about poor children, people from bad homes, or children with disabilities? As if somehow these children would be better off dead. It's sickening. Poor and minority communities have been targeted by the abortion industry. It's very terrible. The world has crazy ideas, upside down ideas, but the psalmist, as always, cuts through and gives us clarity. And it starts out, interestingly to me, with a statement on the sovereignty of God, that God is king. God is in charge. He is over all. He knows, and he is in charge. And it says, unless the Lord builds the house, talking about families here, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. God is sovereign. And unless the Lord is involved in your family, unless God is central in your house, unless God is the one that you are pursuing, everything you do is empty. It's in vain. And I love the imagery there, don't you? You think you're going to guard the city and God's not on the throne? Why? You're fooling yourself, right? You can't. You have no power to guard your own city. Yeah, put the watchman out there, but unless the Lord is the watchman, it's in vain. Unless the Lord builds the house. Isn't that interesting insight? If your goal as a family is not to pursue Christ, you're doing it in vain. It's empty. It's not going to amount to anything. This is a psalm of ascents, as we read. I guess I didn't put that one up there. It's a psalm of ascents. That means that they would sing this psalm on the way up to Jerusalem to worship. And so that means that this is getting our minds in preparation for worship. And at the same time, they would also sing this psalm as worship. That's how important a godly family is to the Lord, that they would regularly sing this psalm about families and about trusting God. This first part is about trusting God with your family. Nothing brings more anxiety in your life than your children. It's just the truth. It's just the truth. They can be the greatest blessing, and they are. They are the greatest blessing, and they can be just a very practical, amazing blessing and comfort in this world, and they can be the greatest source of anxiety at the same time. What are they doing? What are they going to do? What's their future going to be like? You know, you just stress over things. And I love verse 2 because it speaks to me. I don't know if it speaks to you, but it speaks to me. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. He gives his beloved sleep. When you're worried about your children, when something isn't out of your control, it's all out of your control, by the way. When something's out of your control, take a nap. Don't you love that? Take a nap. Hey, go to bed. We stay up all night wringing our hands. We're so concerned about our children. God, what is God going to do? What are they going to do? It's crazy. Hey, we've lived through that. It's vain. He gives his beloved sleep. Trust God. God's on the throne. Anxiety will wear you out. God will take care of your family. Get some sleep. Children are a blessing. They're a heritage from the Lord, a blessing from God himself. God gives you just the right amount of children. Just the right amount. They're a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. The language here is a little stunning. It causes your mind to meditate and chew on this. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. They're a blessing from God himself. It's a heritage. Now, it's interesting language because the word heritage has the exact same meaning or connotation of an inheritance. And I always think of, I think we generally do think of inheritance as going parent to child, right? That's just the way it works. Parents pass, they pass on their heritage or their inheritance to the children. And it says here that the children are a heritage. That's interesting. You inherit them from God, is what he's saying there. You have inherited your children from God. God gives them to you. He passes them on to you, and then he gives you a lineage as a result. They become your heritage as you live, and they are your heritage. They are the next generation that carries your name, and they live, and hopefully your family beliefs, and they carry that on. They are a reward. Now that one is really, that's challenging. Think about it. They're a reward because the word used is reward. The children are the fruit of the womb is a reward. And reward means a recognition of service, effort, or achievement. Think about that. That'll challenge your theology a little bit, won't it? That God rewards you with children. Now, just as a practical note, just sort of as an aside, as you're parenting, sometimes they don't feel like a reward, do they? Huh? A little bit, huh? They stretch you a little bit. They challenge you. Can I get just a trophy? Right? You know, they're a little ornery sometimes. They'll push you. They are, though. That helps you, doesn't it? When it's challenging, when they're difficult, or when you're like, oh, why won't they get this? Or, man, I'm so busy. I just need some rest. They're a reward. Remember that. God has given you them because you love him as a reward for what you're doing. He trusts you with them, and so he's rewarded you with them. Something you win or earn, God rewards us with children. And I think this way, these precious little ones are God's gift to me. And don't ever forget that, especially when it's hard, when it's challenging. And don't let those times go by either. I think it's so easy in life to get caught up in what's wrong and how difficult it is, and you just miss golden opportunities. And later, you know, when you get to be my age, you look back and say, man, the time flew by. I wish I had done better. I wish I had invested more here or there. They're also like weapons, verse 4. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior. There is no other way to say this, but children are like weapons. That is interesting too, isn't it? That Solomon would use this as the illustrations. Not just arrows in a quiver either, right? Because he could have just said, children are like arrows. Could have said that, and he didn't. He said, children are like arrows in the hand of a warrior. Because this is arrow out of the quiver, okay, so it's an arrow ready to be used, and it's also an arrow in the hands of someone that knows how to use it. You see, it's an arrow in the hand of a warrior, not just an arrow, not just a static thing, but a useful tool that is a weapon, and it's in the hands of someone that knows how to use it. It's very interesting. Arrows take skill to fire. I used to bow hunt. And I love bow hunting. It's the best time of year. It's right now-ish. And it's probably starting right actually now. I'd have to look, but it's right now-ish. And it's so beautiful, the fall weather, the trees, and the cool weather. And you just, you know, hunters, if you know any hunters, especially bow hunters, really, we don't really care about the hunting part. It's fun. It's just outside. You're out there, the breeze. My uncle Jeff, he's been dead for several years, but he would never kill a deer until the last day because he didn't want the hunting season to be over. And it takes skill. I mean, you got to know the angles, you got to know the pressure, you got to be just right, you got to let it go, and you got to adjust for the animal's movement. You don't want to wound an animal, you want to hit them just right. So it's very skillful thing to be a bow hunter. He's talking about someone whose life is on the line using a bow. Talk about the skill that takes in the hands of a warrior. It's a skill. Arrows don't shoot themselves, right? Take some direction from the warrior to do that. Now, again, it's a metaphor, so we don't make too much of it, but I like to think of it like parenting is a skill to learn, and it takes practice. It requires precision, and it's necessary to learn for life. Can you imagine a warrior with a quiver full of arrows, and he has no idea what he's doing, and send him out to war? Can you imagine that? Not a long-lived warrior, right? It takes time, it takes skill, and it's necessary to learn. This passage here that we read earlier, these words that I command you shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. It's a learning process. Parenting is a learning process. You know, in one sense, don't beat yourself up as you learn. Let God work. Remember that the Lord is the one building. He'll work you through all of your mistakes. God will use your mistakes. But get this early. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house. You shall walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. As I look back on our years, 56 years old, and our children are grown. And as I reflect on my life, which I have occasion to often lately, there are a few things that I would say I've done well, very few. But one of them, praise God, that I think Lori and I did very well at, is honestly being Christian. Just being a real Christian. Living out what it means to be Christian before our children. To no credit to us, and not because we had some great plan to, hey, we're going to do all these steps, but our lives are genuinely Christian 24 hours a day. Did we sin? Yeah. Did the kids get to see the ugly? Yeah, but we talked about it and as a result, right? And I think that's the most important thing. As you walk, you know, as you talk when you sit in your house. Talk about them when you go on vacation. Show your kids how to witness to people. Show your kids how to minister to people that are hurting. Show them what it means to suffer and to struggle. Show them what it means when someone's a complete jerk to you for no reason. Do it. Live it. Be there. Be that person. When you lie down, when you rise, follow Christ. Show them. I don't know if they remember, but I witnessed to dozens of people on vacation with my children right there. You know, we got free time. Those people ain't doing nothing, and they got to be involved. And it's what you got to do. It's the most important. It takes practice. And life is full of failures. Parenting is full of failures. Deal with it and move on. Do what God calls you to do. Enjoy the blessing and be faithful. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Again, isn't that interesting? It's that idea of that children are a protection to you then. They're like an arrow. And, you know, I could make some personal sort of applications to that. I don't know if it would be helpful, so I don't think I will, but they are. There are times when your children are just the greatest help in your life, especially now that they're older. They can just be a real blessing. It can be really awesome to have your children. But they are a gift of God's favor. That's what blessing means. A quiver full, many children, blessing and defense. They help you in life. You're blessed when you have many of them. You're not going to be put to shame. You know, you have all of these children to back you up. That's the idea there. When you speak with your enemies in the gate, you have many children, and it's just seen as a blessing from God. So lastly then, as parents then, we see this, and here's the progression for me, sort of. God is sovereign, and God is building the household, the family. And unless God is center in your family, it's empty, it's vain, you're wasting your time, you're not doing what's right. Remember, God is on the throne. Make sure God is first in your family. Then, as you parent, remember that God has given you these precious children. They are a gift. They are a heritage to you. They're a blessing. All of them that God has given you, they're a protection. It takes skill and patience and perseverance to parent these children. Remember that they are a blessing. Remind yourself that they are a blessing. Remind yourself of your stewardship. And what is that stewardship? Lead your children to Jesus. If you get nothing else in life, your goal as a parent is to lead your children to Jesus. They're going to do whatever they're going to do. That's between them and God. Your job, lead them. Lead them to Jesus. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." Wow. That's a heavy, solemn responsibility right there. Lead the little children. That's the goal of parenting. And it's been so helpful in our family is as we've dealt with life, is just to think through, how can I help my children see Jesus Christ in the middle of this situation? How can I help my children see their responsibility to their Creator, not just to obey their dad or because dad is big and he has a loud voice or he's stronger than me or whatever, but because I want to obey my parents because I love God and I want to please God? How can I help them with that? How can I help them see that they're not only sinning against the rules of the household, but they're sinning against the very Creator who made them, and so that they see Jesus in their whole life and lead them to Christ? Remind yourself of that. It's not about you or getting some comfort or peace or making your children obey, but you want them to know Jesus. You want them to see Jesus. You want them to follow Jesus. Remember, children are a stewardship. That means that they're given to you as a governor. It's God's given you them as a heritage. Wow, they're a gift. You're responsible for that. Lead them to Jesus. You know, some of us are not that good at sharing Christ with people that we don't know. Someone very weakly sort of shared Christ with me this week. I think that's the first time in my adult life another Christian, a stranger, has shared Christ with me. Isn't that crazy? My, oh my, you better do it with your children. Right? They live in your house. You can make them listen. Right? Huh? You see? It's very important. Lead them to Jesus. Live that before them. Tell them about Christ. Show them Christ in their daily life and who He is. It's a stewardship. You can't make their choices for them. I know sometimes we all would want to. I am really, that's how I'm wired, right? I would love to just turn to people, "Hey, why don't you just do this?" I'm glad God doesn't let me do that. I would mess people's lives up so bad. You can't make their choices for them. And sometimes that's hard. But you can lead them. You can show them Christ. You can live the Christian life well before them. And you can admit your failures and faults and shortcomings. And you can be humble and you can show them when you're wrong. Train them. Train them to follow Christ. And set a godly example for your children to live. Some of us are older, and I know my wife, I'll tell a tale on her, but she has loved to have some grandchildren sometime. No pressure, Amy. But she's with the other kids right now. She may be listening, but she may not be. But we have our grandchildren. But to you that have still got little ones at home, we're praying for you. It's a heavy responsibility, and we're all sinners, aren't we? And we're all going to blow it. Let God work. God is on the throne. Let Him work. We'll still be praying for you. We're here for you. We're here to help you. and just take up your role and enjoy it. And there's nothing more important, there's nothing more enjoyable. And you're going to look back like me one day and say, man, wish I'd slowed down a little bit. Wish I hadn't tried to do so much. I wish I hadn't. But God knows, it's okay. Enjoy those times. So many times I see a kid, you know, they're being all bad. And guess what you do? You laugh when you're 56 years old. I used to hate that when I was a parent. Don't laugh at him, he's being a brat. Right? You know, right? And it's cute when you're 56, you know, right? Yeah, that's cute. It's not cute. They're being a little rebel. But don't let that ruin the experience for you. You're going to miss that day. You're going to miss that day when that little one is being bad and squirming in your arms and trying to get away from you, or running on the stage at the church for the 100th time when he's been told, get off the stage, right? You're going to miss that. There's going to be a day when you don't have that anymore. And so don't overlook those moments that God gives you to shepherd, even when you're tired. Just lead them to Christ. Praise God that he gave them to you and he put them into your life. Let's pray. God, thank you for this blessing and heritage that you've given many of us. We pray for the ones that have not been given the blessing of children, that you have a different role for them. And we know that, and pray that you'd comfort them and encourage them with that as well today. But for us as parents, it's a big deal and a heavy responsibility, and we need your help. And we just pray for grace. Thank you so much for this reminder that you have, it's a blessing that you've given to us as a reward. And wow, what a solemn and humbling thing. God, that we would never lose sight of that. And help us as we try, you know, we're fallen. Help us as we try to do our best to lead these little ones to know Christ. Our prayer is that they ultimately would, that you would be gracious to our families and let our children know Christ, be born again so that our family can be together in heaven forever. We trust you in the end for all things. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.